kind of bothering me that you don't find any humor in this situation.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode, Season 9, Episode 23, The End of the World as We Know It. And now here are your hosts, Tari Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
I just realized that this is dropping on New Year's Eve, many, many years after Y2K. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
Let us get into it with that aforementioned C-plot. Steve, Y2K stuff. So even though it's only April, Steve is reading about Y2K in a real tabloid. What is the headline on it? You cut it for the visual aids. It just says we're all going to die, right?
Yeah. Evergreen.
Every place Janet and Steve want to go on New Year's Eve is already booked. Steve doesn't get what the big deal is since it's just another year. So David has to make with the doomsday predictions we may all remember having come to nothing. I don't know if you're younger, kids, ask your parents. Dylan says he plans to stockpile, though he won't say what he plans to stockpile. And it turns out he's just fucking with Steve anyway. But the effect has an effect. Janet is excited to have booked them the last available room at a hotel in Hawaii, but Steve is spinning out about preparing like he thinks Dylan recommended. Janet thinks he's just stalling to get out of taking a vacation with her and passes on joining him for a trip to the prepper store. And the next day, Steve apparently only makes it to the office to show off the case of Smeet and surplus government cheese he just bought, intending to resell it at a huge markup. Note on that, since you cut this for the visual aids as well, about spam, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, I guess Diet Dr. Pepper is willing to place products all over the show, but spam was like, you know what?
No, thanks.
We're all set.
We have the whole state of Hawaii in our back pocket. We're fine.
So this, yeah, right. And Guam. This episode was apparently sponsored by the release of There's Something About Mary on video cassette, because it like figures heavily into this, into various plots.
Goodness. So Janet reminds Steve that the week before Y2K, they're going to be in Hawaii, and reiterates her concern that he's ginning up this prepping project because he's not sure he'll still be with her in 8 months. Which, by the way, would be kind of okay since they really only defined their relationship like 4 episodes ago. Like, it is maybe a little much to be planning that far ahead, in my opinion, but whatever.
Mm, agree.
But Steve's response is that he's not sure there will still be civilization in 8 months. And then that night at the Walsh house, Steve turns off the power to run a Y2K drill. And since he didn't warn anyone this is about to happen and people were actually using the electricity, they are furious, particularly Janet, who says she's canceling their hotel reservation. And later still, Steve gets Janet to the office on the pretext of having lost the whole paper's layout, which I'm surprised he even knows where it is to have lost it. Come on, Janet, get your shit together.
Or the Janet wouldn't have any number of fail-safes to protect against Steve-ness. Just around the office generally.
Yes, but really it's to walk her through the lo-fi office lighting to a table set with survival rations to tell her about his three big past relationships, which are Celeste, Claire, and Carly. So eat shit, Kelly. I guess that one dropped off the map.
Understandable.
Indeed. Anyway, because each of those women left him, it made him nervous to get serious about a future with Janet. This conveniently skips over his cheating on Celeste, but okay. And Janet is fine missing Hawaii because they should be with their friends and loved ones anyway. Whatever. Moving on. It's weird that they would do this storyline so far ahead of actual Y2K, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. Get it, but I also don't care.
Moving on to our B plot. Speaking of don't care, a sex addict is not addicted to sex with David. So Katie is in New York on a book tour, but makes time to call David and tell him how eager she is to break her sex fast with him. Gross. The next day, Katie and her huge hair and sex eyes, which you can see in the visual aids, turn up on David's doorstep. They were supposed to get together that night, but she couldn't wait and came straight from the airport in leather pants. Gross. Don't fly in leather pants. Disgusting. Oh. He's all nervous and weird, which she ignores to put the moves on him. And post-coitally, this occurs. Clip two.
So how are you doing?
Great.
Good.
Let's watch TV.
When you were in New York, I read a book. Said the hardest time for you was going to be after making love.
No, the hardest part is after having meaningless sex. Mm. We didn't have that.
No, we didn't.
Mm. Now give me that bag. David Duchovny's on Rosie.
What are you being so nervous for?
I'm not. I'm happy.
You sure? I don't want you to bolt or anything, you know?
I'm not going anywhere. I just have a crush on David Duchovny, that's all.
All right.
And David Silver.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, this actress makes Tori Spelling look like Judy Dench. She's fucking mm-hmm. brutal. I understand she's really that bad. She's having to simulate attraction to fucking David, but still. Uh-huh. Also, in this post-coital scene, she has what is either a There's Something About Mary hair gel homage situation happening, but it just looks like someone put one of those big, wide, preppy headbands in her hair with the inside of it coated in Crisco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not sex hair that anyone actually has. I don't
know.
Like, was he just like hitting you around the crown of your head with his dick? I don't get it. Also, don't tell us if that was happening, because I think I might barf myself inside out. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Wow, Sarah, I thought you knew what non-meaningless sex was like. I guess you don't. Yeah, you can see this hair in the visual aids. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Anyway, she's all cute and flirty as David says he's going to go take a shower. But as soon as he's gone, she looks like she's going to barf. And I gift this. She is much more convincing doing this than she is acting like she likes him.
Yeah.
So from the shower, David bellows about going out for Chinese food, but then like hears the door because she has snuck out while he was naked in the shower, which is amazing. So the next day, Katie and her ill-fitting bra, which you can also see in the visual aids, come
Thank
to see
you.
David at his. She's got bifocal boobs. It's a thing. Trust me. Or don't. Go and see for yourself. To see David at his dumb radio booth and apologize for running out on him. He magnanimously says he doesn't think he's the best thing for her right now or ever, in my opinion. She says she thinks he is, though she should maybe tell her face because it does not seem convinced. She says she's never been it with anyone as patient as he is based on what evidence they just met. And he alludes to all the practice he has without saying it's from dating a virgin for a million years. And Katie goes on in clip three.
Most of the men that I've been with are only interested in sex. Getting it as quickly as possible.
Why pick guys like that?
I didn't pick all of them. Certainly didn't pick my father.
I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything. I'm dealing with that. But what you can do is agree to move forward at my pace.
Your pace meaning?
No more sex. At least for a year.
So then it's his turn to look like he's gonna barf. He's just finished saying, like, why would you want to sleep with guys who are only interested in sex, as though that's not the reason he asked her out when Steve said she was a nymphomaniac. Like, fuck off.
God.
So then Katie comes by David's the next day to invite him to a movie, and David comes outside to talk to her and not meet her eye so that she can quickly figure out he's dumping her because she won't fuck him. And she says this, clip four.
Thank you, though.
For what?
For being kind, gentle, and honest. I haven't seen a lot of that.
What the fuck is this shit? I don't understand.
Maybe you're having a little trouble recognizing it because this shit is not that.
It's terrible. I mean, I'm glad that she's leaving now, but the way that this whole thing was handled is terrible, and everyone should be in jail.
Yeah, I agree. Especially whoever dyed David's hair there.
And whoever styled Katie's hair. On to the A-plot, Matt's bad lawyering doesn't stop Kelly fucking him on nanny cam, and also there's a male model named Wayne. Here we go. Kelly and Matt have just put Aaron to bed and are getting into the wine. The plan had been to watch There's Something About Mary, but they start fucking instead, not noticing the gigantic, undisguised camcorder that is just sitting on the shelf running. Like, this is not even a nanny cam. It's just a cam.
It's just a cam. It's a macro cam. It's like a UNIVAC cam. It's so huge.
Yes. This will come back later. So in the store, Donna is coloring in a fucking Dick Tracy blue suit on a figure modeled on a TV hot guy sitting in the courtyard. She's been thinking of doing a men's line for a while now, she tells Kelly, who is very weird about urging Donna to go and talk to the dude as if Donna doesn't have a boyfriend. And Donna lets her, except she goes past him to do stuff at the good old newsstand. And then has to run over and intercept him before he leaves. And after she embarrasses herself with a weird and awkward intro, he saves her by introducing himself. His name is Wayne. Okay. She has barely started to explain that she might want to use him as her menswear muse when the newsstand guy comes over to remind her that she left with a magazine. And then Wayne has to save her again by buying this copy of a knitting magazine and saying it's for himself. Like, ha ha, can you even imagine a man knitting? Har, 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 question mark. Anyway, then he gives her his card. Meanwhile, we're supposed to think that Matt is involved in a case regarding cancer clusters related to toxic waste, which he's in his office telling Dylan about.
Yeah, I mean, Durning Brockovich is what I wrote in my notes. And then the word great in quotation marks, because fuck off.
Yeah. Some less upstanding friend of Matt's has dumped the case because he thought it was a loser, but still. None of the victims has the money to pay for a lawyer, so Matt is looking for Dylan to back him, which Dylan agrees to do, whereupon Matt tells him that one of the defendants named in the suit is Hunter Oil and Chemical. Uh-oh. So then it's David's turn to babysit Aaron. She catches him looking at her hand while they play Go Fish, and when he denies it, she goes straight for the proof, the camera on the shelf. By the way, this is miraculously still the same Aaron from the Carly era, so congratulations to her for having clung on to this role for this long.
Because I noted in the visual aids, it does not look like her, so...
Oh, no, that's still the same girl. It's not the one from the Colin era, or the baby, presumably, but yes, it's still the same one that played soccer with Zach, believe it or not.
I do not believe it. Nice.
So when he denies that he peeked, she goes for the proof, the camera, and calls it the nanny cam, which, as we've said, it's not. And when David goes to take a phone call, Aaron switches the tape in the camera for the tape in the There's Something About Mary box, which David has already forbidden her from watching. So maybe he's not as irresponsible as we all thought. So then Dylan goes into Noah's office at the club just after he booked his friend Monica to play the club. LOL. That he has a friend and that it's Monica. Anyway, Dylan is soon followed by Matt so that they can both break the bad news about the lawsuit. And Noah is pissed in clip five.
Let me get this straight. My roommate's going after my dad and you're paying him for it?
No, dude, because your dad already ran the company into the ground as far as we knew. Also, he is dead already, so he doesn't care.
Also, why is Dylan even present at this conversation except to smugly and rebelliously eat an apple?
I know.
What the fuck? Was he like, you know, in this scene, I really feel like I should be sort of bucking traditional notions of my inherited wealth by eating an apple, just like straight off the core. Okay, Luke, whatever you want. No one's still watching this shit, so who fucking cares?
Yeah. So later.
Also, it's a Red Delicious. Get a fucking life. They're the worst apples. Don't at me.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh, no, it is.
And this is how, our relationship ends. Over
why?
Apple
they're
preference.
They're so mealy. I'm so sad for you. Gala.
No, some are mealy for sure. It's hard to find a new one, a good one. I agree.
Sarah, this is an argument I've had with Tara many times.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm a Honeycrisp person myself. I could do a Gala as well. But yeah,
sure.
Red Delicious is a misnomer if ever there was one.
Should I leave?
I mean, you could.
They look beautiful. And then it's just like eating a sponge. I'm not a fan.
All right. That's it, guys. Thanks for coming out.
This has been again with this Apple edition.
Later, Matt ill-advisedly lets himself into Noah's room to take back CDs that Noah borrowed from him a million years ago, apparently. And Noah accuses him of trying to find incriminating evidence for his lawsuit, as though Noah would have any of that anyway. And hostilities
mount.
Or as
though Matt would even think of that. Like, come on. It's Matt. Durning. Not happening.
No. So hostilities mount until Steve has to enter and try and defuse the situation. So then David brings home the Something About Mary movie box. Gina puts in the tape and she and Dylan get an eyeful of Kelly and Matt fucking. And Gina is delighted, but fails to stop Dylan, who seems to think that David covertly taped them, from turning it off. And at the Peach Pit the next day, Gina is still joking about the tape and Dylan is still not amused. And Nat and his new haircut, believe it or not, come over to take their order. And Gina says this, clip six.
Do you have the Kelly Taylor special? It's the really over easy eggs.
Atta girl.
It's a good line. What's weird is that Nat is just like, I'll see what I can do, and like laughs about it. Like he doesn't stick up for Kelly, which is kind of funny.
I love that he was like, I'm pretty sure I know what that's about. And Team Gina, like, okay.
Yeah. So when Kelly and Matt come by to say hi, Gina codedly describes the tape and the disagreement that she and Dylan are having about it, but Kelly has no idea what she's talking about. Dylan glares at Gina.
I mean, really glares at her. And then glares at Kelly also.
Right.
Like, one of them should have burst into flame. He is really glaring.
So over lunch, Donna seems to have slightly gotten her shit together as she explains to Wayne why she approached him. Turns out he's not a model. He is a professional beach volleyball player. Oh, I said surfer in the last episode. Close enough.
Side out.
He's open to crossing over, and he wants her to know he doesn't have a girlfriend. Does she respond by saying she does have a boyfriend? She does not. Then Noah comes by the store later that day to update Donna on his whole deal in clip seven.
I gotta protect my dad, you know, so I'm gonna meet with his lawyer.
Right, so you went through his stuff, anything incriminating?
Not about the case, but in his diary, he wrote about my half-sister, Renee. Mm-hmm. Turns out my mom didn't know anything about her.
Well, you know, whatever you decide to do, I am completely on your side, okay?
I can't live in the Walsh house anymore. I mean, this thing with me and Matt, it's getting weird, you know?
Okay. We talk a lot about what a bad actor Vincent Young is, but you need to know, and I cut a shot of this, but like through this entire scene about this like serious emotional stuff he's dealing with, he's like smiling like, yeah. Like this is a totally cheerful conversation and it's all just interesting what he's telling her. Like, it makes no sense.
He's like, so I found this Reddit thread about this crime that has nothing to do with me or my family. Like, what?
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, Donna suggests that he move in with her, whereupon he revives the topic of the two of them living together, and she warmly says she'll think about it and makes an endless dumb baby face about it, which I gift, because I hate myself, apparently. So then Dylan walks a blindfolded Gina onto the Peach Pit After Dark floor, where he has arranged a private concert by Monica, and they discuss it in clip eight.
I thought this was canceled.
This is canceled for everybody else but you and me.
This is why your club is failing.
Also, this is canceled in the sense of 2018. Like, you're both canceled. Everyone's canceled. Monica is a very good sport about the bet her manager apparently lost to force this to happen.
Yeah, she looks great. But it's very The Bachelor for the two of them standing there while
Someone
has to awkwardly perform for an audience of two. But it also eats up some screen time, which I'm never mad about, until Gina asks if this is all about the tape of Kelly and Matt and if Dylan is overcompensating, which he denies he needs to do. LOL. Gina refuses to drop it, wondering if Dylan was so bothered by the tape because Kelly and Matt really love each other and Dylan doesn't love Gina. And this is what happens. Clip 9.
Okay. You want to wreck this? You wreck it.
And I know that you slept with Kelly in Mexico.
How do you know?
How? Because you just told me.
I can't believe Dylan, the French teen impregnator, fell for the old because you just told me trick. Oh, Jones. Go get a haircut and think about what you've done.
So she leaves. Monica, like, there's a shot of Monica continuing to stand there and sing for now just one person. While he sits on backwards on a chair and, like, docks his head against the back of it. It's actually kind of hilarious, and I gift that also.
She's like, well, the check cleared, so let's just get through this.
Seriously. So Donna is then flirtily fitting Wayne for a suit. When she sticks him in the butt with a pin, he jokes about accepting workers' comp in the form of a kiss, whereupon she finally gets around to telling him that she has a boyfriend. Not to mention, she doesn't want to mix business with pleasure. And then Noah shows up and laughs off her failure to tell him about Wayne's part in her menswear line. She shoots back that he never told her about Dylan turning away Noah's sellout Monica crowd. Again, this is why your club is failing, because people are actually buying tickets to events and then getting them canceled. Anyway, Noah says Dylan wrote him a check, so it was fine. Don't know why this all happened off screen when last we saw Noah was just as mad at Dylan about the lawsuit as he was at Matt. This fucking show can't even keep its dumb storyline straight. Anyway, Noah wants to go look at a house, but Donna is too busy with Wayne right now. Noah is proud of everything she's doing at the store, and he'll talk to her later. I do not care about these two, and maybe neither does Donna, as she looks wistfully at Wayne.
Who cannot act at all, and constantly has this, like, Willie Ames smirk on his face. The whole thing is just so boring. There's so much stuff. And so much heeing. Why? Why is this happening to us?
I don't know. So Dylan is in Matt's office gazing at a framed photo of Matt and Kelly when Matt himself returns with lunch. Dylan says he should lock his door, and Matt says that anything worth stealing is already buried, so good luck to all his clients and their unsecured documents, I guess. I also forgot Gina was supposed to be Matt's assistant until Dylan asks where she is, because not getting lunch for them, apparently, that's still Matt's job. Also, the big cancer case is almost won, thanks to Dylan's money. LOL, it's been like 2 days. But anyway, Gina comes back to Matt, shaking hands with Dylan, and her smile crumbles into disgust. Before she takes the burger, Matt tosses her and goes to eat it outside. Dylan follows, and they have this exchange in clip 10.
I'm thinking about telling him I wouldn't do that.
Shut up, Dylan.
I do not want to drag Kelly and Matt into this.
Of course you don't, because you want to protect Kelly, right? Because I know you didn't crawl all the way over here out of concern for me.
Gina?
You want to tell him, or should I?
Tell me what?
When I was in Mexico, I slept with Kelly. There you have it. Let the games begin. You happy?
Yeah, really happy. I'm sorry, I just found out myself.
Gina, we have a lot of work to do. Our business arrangement is over. Why don't you take your money and get the hell out of here?
Kind of loses its impact when you have to tell him to take his money.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then he's carefully stacking it in a wheelbarrow and wheeling it out, and it's awkward. Mm-hmm. Like in New York when you're like, all right, see you soon. And then you're both going to the same subway stop and you don't have enough conversation. Like that, only more boring and annoying.
Speaking of boring and annoying, Donna, in the store, confesses to Kelly that she has a dumb baby crush on Wayne in clip 11.
I mean, he's just so damn cute, and he has this great energy about him, and I wrote his name in a heart last night.
Pencil or pen?
Pink highlighter.
Well, oh, God.
That has the force of law, as we all know.
Kelly, a real expert on ethics and relationships, calls that completely innocent. It's very bad timing because just then in comes Matt, lip 12.
Hello.
Tell me about Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah, I got Dylan's version.
Dylan has a version.
But yours would really help. That way, whenever I miss you, I'll remember exactly why we broke up. You need some time? Why don't you write it down? You can fax it to me.
Oh, fax burn.
I hate that I kind of like that line. So then Kelly goes straight from this confrontation to yell at Dylan in his office at the club in clip 13.
You are sick, and I will never forgive you.
Mm-hmm. You videotape yourself having sex with somebody, and you call me sick?
What?
I am talking about you and Matt in Jackie and Mel's living room.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys always use the coffee table, or were you just improvising that day? Uh-huh.
Where did you get it?
All I know is I went to put a movie in the VCR, and before I knew it, there it is, Kelly and Matt going at it.
Who saw it?
Just me and Gina. I told her not to tell anybody.
Oh, that's very comforting. Thank you. I want that tape.
Yeah, well, I took a hammer to it.
And I want the pieces.
I kind of like that line, too. It made me laugh. I want the pieces. Sorry.
It made me laugh because she sucks and she's really getting her comeuppance for at least a couple of minutes. Ugh, she's so terrible. They both are.
Yes, well, gets even more terribler. In the apartment, Gina watches herself cry in the mirror, a classic emo girl move, and waves off Donna's concern, claiming it's just allergies. Enter Kelly, bitchily, in clip 14.
I would like the chance to explain, and I'm sure that there are some things that you would like to say to me. Yeah. Actually, there are some things I'd like to say to you.
And what's happening there is she's taken a lipstick and written slut on the mirror. She starts crying again.
Yeah. She's actually pretty good in the scene, Marcel. Yeah. And, you know, I don't particularly approve of calling her a slut for this. Like, that's just the word you throw at someone you already don't like for other reasons.
Sure.
I'm never in love with that being bandied about, but given Kelly's alleged struggles with her alleged rep, that this totally burns her, I'm fine with it in this case.
Mm-hmm. So the next morning, Donna is already awake and guiltily staring at a sleeping Noah when his alarm goes off. He thinks she's upset about Kelly and Matt. She seems like she's about to tell him that they need to hold off on moving in together because of Wayne when there's a knock on the door, clip 15.
Hey, can we talk outside?
No.
I think I might have to like get that clip off of you. Hey, can we talk outside? No. It's just like, it's like all the things that we liked about Noah when he first came on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't act, like everything is kind of at the same pitch, and sometimes the randomness is really enjoyable. I just loved that. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, can I talk to you? No. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So to get at the truth, Matt needs Mr. Hunter's private papers, and he will file a criminal motion against Noah for withholding evidence if he has to. Noah tells him to go for it, and then Donna cheers him up by suggesting that they go and look at rentals, and like hugs him and kisses him on the forehead like she's his mom, and it's gross and weird. So then Kelly goes to the Walsh house to tell Matt that whatever happened with her and Dylan in Mexico, she loves Matt. Matt is unmoved. She reminds him that they were in Mexico to get drugs from Matt's wife, with whom he had just reunited, and that Kelly was alone. Matt knows. The point is that she should have told him. She doesn't know when she should have done that. Clip 16.
When I came back and you told me that you were moving to New York to be with Lauren, or after she left and you were walking around like your insides had been kicked out, would that have been a good time?
One of those.
Yeah. But on the other hand, she's not wrong. And the writing on their relationship at that time, as we said then, was totally idiotic, where they were acting like they could still be together while he was still back with his wife. Like, no sense was made of any of that. So,
yeah. I mean, and they were on a break, as it were. So
right. But even then, they like never defined what their relationship was. It was just like, well, I'm in love with both of you, but I'm going to be with my sick wife, which like, yes, that is what you should do. Other than the part where you say you're still in love with Kelly and leave her dangling for no reason. Like, they could have solved this then if any of them had been sensible, but like the writing didn't allow it.
Yeah. Also, Luke Perry came back, so problem. Anyway. Right.
So to Matt's rhetorical sounding question, she says she thinks he should forgive her, and he fucking does.
And then there is slow-mo as she smugly nestles into the crook of his neck with a bitch face. Oh my God. She's such a rag through the soul. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I do think you should forgive me. Like, well, for that alone, you're not getting forgiven. Like, you actually had a point, but now I kind of want to hit you with a beehive.
Yep. Cut to Dylan watching Kelly's sex tape again, because of course he didn't smash it, and tears squeeze out of his stony eyes. He takes the tape out and puts it in his coat pocket before opening the door to Gina, who's responding to his 200 messages, and he does not dispute any of her charges in clip 17.
You know, I think that I really understand what Kelly was doing in Mexico with you. She was using you. So while you had your hands all over her, she was probably thinking about Matt. And I have to tell you, you know, after watching him in that tape, who wouldn't?
Ooh, go after Matt. Break up him and Kelly. This is what I've been saying for weeks.
Seriously. Your little friendship is actually sort of sweet. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. So then Dylan goes to the beach apartment to give Kelly the tape and tell her that Matt loves her and she loves Matt. She doesn't. And it was difficult for Dylan to see their connection, because it's different between him and Gina. Kelly is lucky she found someone who makes her happy. Dylan wishes it were him. You had your chance, both of you. Shut up. So then in the Walsh yard, Noah burns pages of his father's diary on the barbecue, but saves a tracing of his hand at age 6. LOL. Matt comes out as the pages are consumed, shaking his head in disgust. Then Wayne meets an extremely guilty looking Donna for drinks, sitting on her side of the booth. No. And asking if it's a secret meeting, which if it is, he's fine with. She tells him she doesn't think they should see each other anymore because she's shacking up with Noah. And he keeps flirting and she admits that she is attracted to him. She just doesn't want him to get the wrong idea because she's not available. So then he kisses her. And then she unhinges her jaw to kiss him back in classic Donna style. And that's so where we end it. It's too much.
And then they both fall into her cleavern. It's bad. That she got from the Alloy catalog, I'm sure.
Ugh. Oh, God, yes. So that's where we leave it. Now to our episode MVP. Oh, boy.
I guess Gina.
Yeah, I mean, she finally pulled the trigger after weeks of putting it off.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm good with that.
Least valuable player. Matt, the opposite of that.
Doormat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad. Real bad. Let's do the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, dangerous to me.
5 ways from this episode, Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Still doesn't have a haircut. That's bad.
Lied to his girlfriend about cheating on her for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. That's also bad.
Lied about smashing up the sex tape and kept it to watch it again while crying. That's mad and bad and dangerous.
It's very bad club management to buy out all the tickets for an actual artist's show at the club that you run just to make a point to your girlfriend who you keep saying you don't love.
And on that same tip, it's sort of bad. Like, this is a professional performer, and if she's just singing to basically an empty room when Gina has stormed off and you're sulking, tell her she can stop and send her home.
Was that five?
I think so.
Lost track. Okay, sure.
Next time on Again With This, Sweeps, you got to look in the mirror and you got to take one thing off. Gina apparently has bulimia. Dylan apparently has heroin cravings. Kelly is apparently going to have trauma after she's sexually assaulted. And we have to care about Wayne, the inappropriate smirker. There's plenty of appropriate smirking to be done in Ray, our visual aids, which you can find on our website at againwiththis90210.com. And you can follow this very podcast on Twitter at AWT90210. And don't forget, cookie cutter contest ends tomorrow as you're listening to this. So if you're not sure what we're talking about, welcome to the podcast and listen to the previous episode. I'm really over easy egg, Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is pink highlighter Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Case of Smeet, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
I screwed up the end cue because I was laughing at Smeet.
Smeet.